This morning I will be reading Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
So in the text read this morning, Jesus challenged his followers to make an impact in the world. The salt and light describe the essential character of the disciples of Jesus. The salt and light metaphors indicate our potential influence for good in the world. And I believe they have much to teach us about our Christian responsibilities in the world. A call for regency to reach out and make a difference. I think Chris Holcomb was one of our first summer speakers, and he talked about the light and the salt and gave qualities of those, important qualities of those of us who are disciples of Christ. And I believe it was quite a challenge that Jesus presented there to his disciples. I think it was quite a compliment when he said to them, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Now, he had just given those Beatitudes, right? The poor in spirit, the meek, the humble, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the peacemakers. And you would think, well, I tell you what, that doesn't seem to be the strongest people in the world. But he's saying, these are the people that are going to make a difference in the world. You who possess those qualities, you are to be the salt of the earth. And you are to be the light of the world. Ephesians chapter 1. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Paul says that the church is the body of Christ. We are, in a way, the incarnation of Jesus on earth. We are his hands, his feet, his voice in our community. But Paul also says that the church is the fullness of Jesus. So in some ways, we are like a container that has been filled completely to the top with Jesus. We are to be the fullest expression of Jesus on this earth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are the body of Christ. You are to be the fullness of Jesus on this earth. And so let me ask us this morning, how do we envision Jesus using us as his body? Well, let me suggest that number one, Regency is a church where we are stirred. Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, the writer says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So a couple of important "let us" passages here from chapter 10. First of all, the writer says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." We can do that because the one who called us, the writer reminds us, is faithful. And then let us consider how to stimulate, how to stir up one another to love and good deeds. Well, how can we do that? Well, one of the ways is by our coming together, we are an encouragement to each other, and we are able to stimulate and to stir up each other. And so through our worship services, our times of prayer, we desire to be a fellowship of people through which our Lord stirs the hearts and souls of people for God. And I hope that is one thing that you experience when you come together here in our worship times, that your heart is stirred, that you are stimulated, and that you have an opportunity to stimulate someone else to love and good deeds. So Regency is a place where people are stirred. But number two, Regency is a church where we are supported. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Well, this support comes through our Sunday and Wednesday Bible classes. It will come as we get together in our life groups, which I believe will strengthen our one another relationships. But we want Regia to be a church where we are supported, or as Paul put it here, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. And then the goal here is that that causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I appreciate the support that I receive from my brothers and sisters in Christ here at the Regency Congregation. I try to support everyone that I possibly can as well. But this is a place where we can support one another. And I think that can be done through our times of getting together. Number three, Regency is a church where we are shaped. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Paul writes, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." That is our ultimate goal, to be conformed into the image of God's Son. And again, our coming together, I believe, helps us to be in good shape spiritually. And we want to be, above all else, in good shape spiritually. I want to do my best to be in good shape physically, but I want to do my very best to be in good shape spiritually. I forgot to add this to my outline, but I've shared it with you before, so this is something you'll say, "Oh, Alan, I've already heard that," so I can tell you again. But how can we stay in good shape spiritually? And I've used that word shape as an acrostic to help us for some ways that we can stay in good spiritual shape. The S stands for be a serious student. Be a serious student. That is important if we're going to stay in good shape spiritually. The H is that we need to guard our hearts and our heads. Guard your heart. Guard your head. Learn to think the right things. Practice a sanctified kind of thinking, and that is going to help you to stay in good shape spiritually. The A is, what do you aspire to be and to do above all else? What about your aspiration? That is going to help you to stay in good shape spiritually. And then P stands for pray. Certainly we need to pray if we're going to stay in good spiritual shape. And then the E, you might guess, is exercise. We've got to come up with some spiritual exercises. Now, the doctor always will tell us what? You need to do some exercise. Now, spiritual exercises, that is more than jumping to conclusions or running people down. Those are not healthy spiritual exercises. But we need to come up with some really good ways of staying in good shape spiritually. And so Regency is to be a place where we are shaped into the image of Christ. What a goal. And Tommy alluded to this in his remarks about the Lord's Supper, but we have been predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son. What a challenge that is. What a daily challenge that is to be shaped into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that is something that we must do daily. But then, number four, I believe that Regency is a church where we are sent. Isaiah 6 and verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me." We want to be a body through which Jesus sends us to serve the needy, our neighbors, our community, and our world. I want Regency to be a reaching out body of believers, praying that God will open doors of opportunity for us to speak His word to the lost, as well as sharing the word with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we are to be a body of people that God can send out there and make a difference in the world. Whenever I read, that statement, I sometimes think about, I've probably got plenty of reasons why, if the Lord were to say, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I would say, "Lord, don't send me, but send somebody else." And there are probably reasons why I could probably say that. But I want us to try to develop that serving attitude of, "Lord, please send me. I want to be a vessel in your hands. I want to be that kind of person who is willing to go out there and to try to make a difference in this world." And I just want to let you know that I truly believe that our life groups that we're going to be starting, I think will help us in meeting these kinds of things that we have talked about this morning. I believe they will help us in many ways to be stirred, to be supported, to be shaped, and to be sent. And that's what we want the Regency congregation to be, that kind of congregation. A congregation is trying to really reach out and make a difference in our community. You are the salt of the earth. You are to go out there and be a healing power and be a preserving power. You are the light of the world. You are to go out there and make a difference. You are to enlighten, to bring light to those who may be in darkness. And of course, the key there is that Jesus said what? That He is the light of the world. And I think as long as we follow Him, we will not walk in darkness, but we will know the light of life. And so I think as long as we are connected to the true and ultimate source of light, then we can be what He told us to be here, that we can indeed be the light of the world. And what's the end result of that? God is glorified. We let that light shine, not in order for people, they can see our good works, but that God, in the meantime, is going to be the one who will be glorified. So I pray that Regency will be a church that is trying to reach out and to touch the lives of people, that we will take advantage of whatever opportunities we have to be that kind of congregation. God can use you. As we talked about last Sunday morning, the power of one. God can use each one of you occupying these pews this morning. And I just want to challenge us to go out there and to make a difference in whatever ways that we can come up with here within our congregation to help us to do that, that I want us to take full advantage of those ways. Regency, reaching out. Just as God reached out to us, was willing to give His one and only Son, and then He expects us again to be in some ways an extension of the Incarnation, because we are to be His hands, His feet, His voice in the world. We're going to sing our song of encouragement, and if there's anyone here tonight or today, this morning, I'll get it in just a minute. If there's anyone that needs to make a response to the one who has loved us, who gave Himself for us, the initial response is through trusting faith, a repentant spirit, a willingness to stand and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and then to demonstrate that faith by being buried with our Lord in the waters of baptism, to be raised up, to have your sins forgiven, to begin walking in newness of life. And so if there's anyone here today who needs to take that important step, I encourage you to do that. If there is anyone here who desires the prayers of the congregation, if we can encourage you, if we can help you, if we can support you, if we can do whatever through our prayers, please come and share with us. Because we're in this together. We are one body. We are members one of another. And we are encouraged to pray for one another, to forgive each other. And so if we can pray for you today, please come and share that with us. So if there's any way that we can help you, would you let us know as we stand together and sing?